If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I don't know about you, but I am ready to be done with the heat and ready for sweatshirt weather. Whether you're excited about sweaters, pumpkin everything, or decorating for Halloween, Pair Eyewear offers infinite possibilities starting at just $60, including a prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code HEARTBREAK at PairEyewear.com. I was so excited to shop for and receive my Pair Eyewear sunglasses. They are so cute, and I picked up different colored top frames that snap right on so I can change my look in seconds. Not only do they have sunglasses like I got, but they have prescription glasses too. I've been wearing my pink clear frames as we near the end of summer, and will be swapping those out with my tortoise and black top frames as the weather cools off. When you're going through a breakup, it's fun to switch up routine and style, and you can fall into a new routine with infinite possibilities from Pair Eyewear. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that Heal Your Heartbreak sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code HEARTBREAK. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. It has been a little bit since I've done a solo episode. It's a quality problem, but I've been getting so many great guests on the show that there have not been as many slots to do solo episodes. So I've been loving all the guests, but I also sometimes miss just being able to really tune into a topic that I see needing to be done in my DMs or in the Facebook group, and being able to come on and just share my thoughts on that. And I guess, no pun intended, but speaking of thoughts, that's what the topic for the podcast is today. Is I'm calling it the scary, but also very normal thoughts that we go through during a breakup. And really, this episode is talking about the power of thoughts, but also hopefully validating and normalizing some of this around. I just know our thoughts are a very unproductive thing that happen during your breakup. I'd say probably one of the number one complaints that I hear is the obsessive thinking that comes after the breakup. It can feel very scary. It can feel very real. The thoughts are, you know, you're not looping or obsessing on positive thoughts usually. You're really thinking about negative stuff about yourself, your ex, your life, whatever that looks like. And it feels very difficult in the moment to be able to stop those. So a couple weeks ago, I asked you guys on Instagram to share the thoughts that you really struggle with during your breakup. And I went through all of them and I kind of grouped them together based on theme. So I want to make sure I run through all the different kinds of thoughts that people most struggle with. And I also want to talk about the role of thought, which is something that I feel really fortunate with, that was talked about a lot in my house growing up. My dad's, he prescribes to this certain type of therapy that I've gone through in the past. And it really talks a lot about the role of thought. So it is very powerful, but there's a lot of things to keep in mind to not let it overtake you. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The first thing that I want to recommend, if you haven't read The Untethered Soul, I've talked about it before on the podcast. It's still my all-time favorite, most helpful book I've ever read. I would highly recommend you do that because for me, what that book was able to do is not perfectly, but it just allowed me to recognize that I am not my thoughts. So that's the biggest thing to remember. You're not your thoughts. Your thoughts are one of those things that you hear in your own voice in your head. And so therefore, obviously, it feels like it's you. It feels like there must be a part of me that believes the things that I'm thinking or that believes them, or it's a part of me, or it has to be true. There has to be something logical or truthful about my thoughts because I am hearing them in my own voice. But what you have to remember is you are not your thoughts. As it talks about in Untethered Soul, it's by Michael Singer. He talks about how you are the listener. Basically, you're the audience. You're the one that hears your thoughts. You're not the one that is saying them. And that can be just a really subtle thing that allows you to disassociate a little bit with your thoughts and not think they're so scary. Just because I know in the past, and I'll talk about this when we go through the different kinds of thoughts, but I would sometimes have thoughts where like I would think really just things that I did not identify with in terms of my character. Like I would have like ill wish thoughts towards an ex or an ex's new partner. And it would honestly scare me sometimes because I would be like, I'm not a person that wishes ill on people. And I would have to take a step back and realize, okay, that doesn't mean anything. It's okay to just have a thought just kind of pass by. I don't have to identify with it. And it doesn't even mean that it comes from anything about me. So remembering that you're not the voice in your head, you're the one that hears the voice in your head. And trust me, read the book. It makes so much sense. And another thing that they talk about in this book, which has also been something that has come up a lot in AA meetings over the last decade, but choosing to personify the voice in your head, quote unquote, or your thoughts. Your thoughts are the voice in your head. And making it some outside thing. So in the book, they talk about naming it. They call it your inner roommate. So naming it, just giving it something that's not you. So you can call it, for me, I don't know if I ever actually like picked a name for it, but you could call them, I'm scared to pick a name because I don't want to like insult anyone, but my dog's behind me right now. So we'll call her Doll. We'll call my inner roommate Dolly. So, wow, Dolly's being such a downer again, or Dolly's being such a bitch right now. They, you know, she's saying all these things that, you know, that I don't like, I don't want to hear about it. So just again, like separating yourself from your thoughts is a very powerful tool. There was this woman in a meeting that I used to go to, and she used to call her thoughts the bitches in the attic. And I love that. That's kind of what I go with to be like, okay, they're just, the bitches in the attic are just really ramped up today. And again, that can just help give a little bit of distance. Having a little bit of distance from your thoughts is really, really important and really powerful because it stops it from becoming so obsessive. Because this is kind of what can happen. I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to this, but a thought will come in your head. Let's do the thought of, the most common that came up when I asked you guys on Instagram was, I'm going to end up alone forever. So what I can either do is I can have that thought, I'm going to end up alone forever, start. And then I start doing, okay, here's all the reasons why I'm going to end up alone forever. And okay, what am I going to be like? What are my 60s going to be like when I'm alone? Who's going to take care of me when I'm older? What am I going to do, this and this? And you just, it just spirals. And then it kind of can get layered. So you can start feeling guilty or bad about the thoughts that you're having. I can't believe I'm being so critical. Why am I thinking that I'm going to be alone forever? And just all this. So it can become layered where you feel guilt about your thoughts or you feel guilt around your feelings. And it just makes it worse and worse and worse. So the more that you can hang on to a thought and dissect it, feel things about it, take it down the rabbit hole, the more intense it's going to become. And the longer it's going to be there, the more you're going to think about it. So the trick is, again, to provide some distance. So if the thought pops into my head of, I'm going to be alone forever, I'd be like, ugh, Dolly, stop being such a bitch today. Like, knock it off. Because the thing that they talk about in that book with the inner roommate is you would never, ever, ever let someone live in your house who talked to you like that. But we endure really negative stuff from our inner roommate all day, every day. So if we can, again, provide that distance and just remember that we don't have to identify with the thoughts that are coming into our head, the better off that you're going to be and the less you're likely to obsess about it. I used to suffer with a lot of anxiety around bedtime when I was, I think, probably starting at like 5 or 6, and it went, I think, until I was about 10 or so. But I would just be up at night thinking about stuff, just really anxious thoughts. And my mom gave me this like visualization where I would imagine writing down my thoughts in balloons and then letting those balloons go one by one. So anything that you can do to, again, symbolically let go of the thoughts and not hang on to them. You can also think about it like a road where a thought is like one of the trucks and you just kind of watch it go by and you just notice it like, wow, that was a really negative thought that just popped up. And then just try to do whatever you can to just move on from there. Again, the more you stop and dissect and feel shame around or judge your thoughts or your feelings, the longer they're going to stick around, the more that you can do to just notice them, disconnect from them, and let them pass, the better off you're going to be every single time. And I think thoughts can always be a really big problem. I think particularly when it comes to a breakup, the mistake a lot of people make is they just end up spending a lot of time alone. Because if you were living with a partner, now you're not living with a partner, you tend to have a lot more time on your own to think certain things. So that's a factor. As much as I can tell you until I'm blue in the face not to take your breakup personally, it's very hard not to take it personally. So there's always going to be the added element of feeling low self-worth-wise after a breakup. So that will cause a lot of self-loathing, low self-esteem type thoughts. As we've talked about in other episodes, your brain and your body are a little haywire when they're going through a breakup. You have a lot of different chemical changes happening. Remember, your brain is actually looking for your ex for that hit of dopamine. So you're just a little bit on the fritz. So your thoughts are going to be all over the place. Not to mention, this is something that, again, my dad taught me growing up, but he would always say, when you're feeling down, when you're worried, anxious, depressed, any of the sad, like low mood feelings that we have, your thinking is not reliable. Well, when you're angry, your thinking is not reliable. When you hit a certain point emotionally, your logic brain, your frontal lobe, your judgment, all of those things actually goes completely offline. So logic just doesn't happen anymore. So you also have to remember that because you're in this extended period of sadness or anger or worry or whatever your breakup looks like, you cannot trust your thoughts when you're in that space because they're just not true. Not only are they not you, they're also not true. You have to remember all of this stuff as you're navigating these thoughts that you're having during your breakup. So the more that you can understand those things, the less likely you are to take your thoughts to heart, take them personally, make them feel true, make them a part of you. So these are things that I wish I could have heard and connected all at once, instead of having, I guess, to learn a lot of these the hard way.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Breakups come with a lot of fears. I know when I was navigating my breakup, I feared I lost my last chance at love. I feared that I ruined the relationship. I felt scared at the thought of dating again. And while these fears are not necessarily true, I know they feel incredibly real. Halloween is coming up, which lets us have fun with what scares us, but what about those fears that don't involve zombies and ghosts? Therapy is a great tool for facing your fears and finding ways to overcome them. Sometimes just voicing my fears in a therapy session is so helpful in taking the power out of them. Because sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears in the first place and holding ourselves back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Investing in yourself can mean many different things when you're going through a breakup. But when it comes to financial investments, investing can feel intimidating and many people don't know where to start. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest in Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Taking initiative over finances and investments is something that has really added to my overall feeling of empowerment and has helped provide a hopeful feeling as I think about my future. And I love that Acorns makes it so easy. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/heartbreak. I know after going through a breakup, your photos need to be replaced and memory lane can feel like a scary place to walk down. But don't forget that you still have so many people in your life who love you and so many memories that don't involve your ex. And Artifact Uprising is here to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. I have been an Artifact Uprising customer for years now, and I love that they have such high quality prints and beautiful books that are great for putting up in my home or giving as gifts. Just recently, I made a photo book with photos of my three boys from this year. But what I also made, which I highly recommend all of you do, is I made a book with photos of just my best girlfriends, which I now have on my coffee table. It's such a great way for me to see all of my favorite memories with the women in my life who are my rocks. So whether you want to put up some new photos with friends and family around your house, or you want to put together a book as a thank you for the people who are holding you up during this tough time, Artifact Uprising is the place to do it. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, Heal Your Heartbreak listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code HEARTBREAK through December 31st. And I want to share this story. So my dad wrote a book called The Mood Elevator. If you guys ever want to pick it up, it's available on Amazon. It's great. It talks a lot about all of this stuff being down on the mood elevator. Your thoughts aren't reliable. But he shares this story about this guy who worked at a corporate job. He had kids. He had a wife. And he was talking to a coworker at work one day. And he his coworker told him, "Oh, have you heard? They're probably doing layoffs soon." And so the guy automatically goes into this spiral. And instead of going home right after work, he drives to a park and he sits on a bench and he starts just thinking about all the ramifications of what's going to happen when he gets laid off. In his head, it's happening. He's going to get laid off. Him and his family are going to lose their house, then have to move in with their parents, and then it's not going to work out with their parents, then their kids aren't going to be able to go to college, and then something bad's going to happen to their kids, and just all this stuff. He goes from having a normal day at work to being at a park thinking about him and his family being homeless and his kids not being able to get an education or having any success later in life. So it went real quick through the spiral, which can happen. That stuff happens really fast. And then he starts thinking, okay, well, I actually don't even like my job. So his thoughts are going another direction. I don't even really like my job. me and my wife have always thought about starting this dog grooming business. Maybe this is a great thing. Maybe this is the push I need to leave this job that I hate and start a business with my wife and all this stuff. So then all of a sudden, his thoughts bring him back up the mood elevator. Nothing has changed in his world. Nothing in his reality has actually changed. This is all from his thoughts. Our thoughts are literally this movie playing in our head, and we can, while I don't think we can control our thoughts necessarily, we can decide which ones we're going to really latch onto and which ones we're going to try our best to let pass. So the guy ends up not even ever losing his job because this is all based on a rumor, but it just shows how quickly we can go all over the map based on something that hasn't even happened yet. So that leads me into the different kinds of scary but normal thoughts. So as I go through these different categories of thoughts, I want you to know that there were dozens and dozens and dozens of messages within all of these. So I pretty much can guarantee that any thought that you feel shame or embarrassed by, you are not the only one having when going through a breakup. So much of that's what's so great about social media in a lot of ways is we can just normalize things that we feel very alone in. So again, so the first one is something that I talked about, which is the low self-worth thought. So that is, I'm not good enough. If only I was this, that, prettier, skinnier, smarter, wealthier, my ex would not have left. Therefore, there's something innately wrong with me that doesn't allow me to be loved by anyone. So many different variations of that message, but that's a very, very common one. And this can happen even if you considered yourself a very confident person pre-breakup or pre-relationship. So just know that a breakup will make anyone question their self-worth. It's sad. I wish it wasn't that way, but it's the truth. As much as I can tell you not to take it personally, it's really hard not to take it personally when someone says, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. And it doesn't matter what kind of reasoning they give you, that's going to happen. So if you're struggling with negative thoughts about yourself, just again, remember they're not true. You're going through a very vulnerable time. So it makes sense that you're going to attack yourself and blame yourself for those kinds of things. The next one are what I'll call like paradoxical thoughts, which is just sometimes it's easy to feel kind of crazy when going through a breakup because you are going to have these thoughts that don't make sense. They don't line up. I never want to see my ex again, but I also would love to get back together with them. The thought of them makes me sick, but I would do anything for them if they called. I don't want them back, but I would take their call. I hate this person, but you know, miss having sex with them. Like there's just so many different thoughts. And that kind of internal conversation that I just ran through, that can happen all over the course of 10 minutes or an hour. So it can feel very confusing. But again, you just have to remember, you don't have to identify with any of those things. Your thoughts and feelings about your ex could very well change hour to hour, day to day. You don't have to like pick something and stake your claim in it and never change it. It's okay if 1 week you feel really good about your ex being gone, and then the next week you really miss them. Or if you're someone, especially that's coming out of like an abusive situation, it can be scary to have thoughts of missing them because you know deep down that they were abusive and not good for you. You've talked to your friends and family about how bad they were for you. And then the next week you have thoughts of, I want them back. That can feel really scary. And it's really easy to judge yourself based on that. You're not alone. You're not the only person that's had those thoughts. Most people that are coming out of any type of relationship are going to have thoughts of missing their ex. Even if you were the one that ended it, that's also a very normal thought to have. So don't be afraid or don't think you're such a yo-yo person or whatever because you don't have consistent thoughts about your ex. It's very normal for the thoughts to be all over the place. That's why it's good to not get super connected with any one of them because it could change very quickly. The next is what I call making something happening now means something very long term. And I think a lot of people do that. Someone broke up with me now, therefore I am unlovable for the rest of my life. And that's not necessarily what the thought will present itself as, but I think that's what a lot of you guys are doing, where you take, okay, this person said they didn't want a relationship with me. therefore I am unlovable for the rest of my life, which again, I think if we could look at it from the outside, or if you can take a look at any of your friends saying something like that, you would say, that's not true. That's not true at all. Of course you're lovable. Of course this one breakup doesn't mean anything about your long-term ability to form a relationship. But our thoughts, again, can be a total bitch and a liar. So just remember, something happening now does not determine the fate for the rest of your life. And again, that's something everyone does after a breakup. They take this last relationship, or they take their last few relationships that haven't worked out, and forecast that well into the future. And that's simply not true. What has happened in the past does not dictate what is going to happen in the future. The breakup being all your fault, I think that's another big one that our thoughts love to hang on to. I'm sure I've talked about this in other episodes, but I truly believe that we like to make it our fault after a breakup because it gives us some sense of power over the situation and control over the situation. I really believe that we like having control, and when we don't have it, we seek ways that we can find control. This is an extreme example, but people who are struggling with eating disorders typically do it because they don't feel a sense of control in their life. So they say, okay, I can control, subconsciously they're saying, okay, I can control my food intake. So a lot of times a breakup feels like a very out of control, powerless situation. So you say, okay, if I can make it my fault, I'll feel like I have some power over this and I'll feel like I'm in a little bit more control. I think we also like to make it our fault because we can control ourselves. And if it's our fault, we can go to our ex and say, I know I was so needy, and I know this breakup was all my fault. I won't be needy anymore. I won't do that. So can you please take me back? It feels like we could go to our ex if it was all our fault and tell them how we were going to change. Whereas if your ex breaks up with you and says, it's just not working for me, and you don't really get a lot of reasons why, it's kind of hard to go back and say, I want to get back together, because you don't really even know the reason why they ended it. So it's so much easier to point to ourselves and say, oh, it was me. I did all these things. I can change. Let me tell you how I'm going to change, and that will give you a better sense of power and control. Again, something every single person goes through is making it, I guess not every single person. I think there's two sides of the pendulum here where people make it all their fault, or there's people who walk through the world with zero awareness of what's going on. And sometimes people will not admit anything is their fault. But I think my listeners, you guys tend to more fall on the side where you think everything is your fault. So nothing can be all one person's fault. It definitely takes two to tango. It takes two people to be in a relationship. So just know that's, again, another common thought. It can be scary to feel like you ended it or it was your fault that the relationship ended. Just, again, remember, you don't have to identify with that. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. People who feel like it's all their fault usually are doing it not because it's their fault, but because they're trying to make themselves feel better. And then lastly is, I think the last category of dealing with normal but scary thoughts is, I'll call it future tripping. That's what they call it in AA, but it's really trying to tackle a problem that hasn't happened yet. So I wrote down a common example that you guys wrote in was how painful it will be when my ex starts dating someone new. That's a very scary thought. Or what's going to happen when, what happens if I run into them? What happens if I run into them and their new person? What happens if this? Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if I accidentally see something on social media? What happens if I start dating someone new? Should I go and tell my ex? So we just go through all these scenarios. These really can take over thoughts. Sometimes these are, I think subconsciously, again, we more want to think about things like this, because it distracts us from having to actually deal with our present feelings. But what you have to remember about thoughts in the future, obviously, we're not fortune tellers. You cannot tell the future. And you also, I'm going to butcher how I first heard this, but you can't solve a future problem first of all, that's not, that hasn't even happened yet, but you can't solve a future problem with your current thinking and your current stuff. So yeah, it's going to feel really scary to think about your ex dating someone new in the future because it hasn't happened and you have no idea how you're going to be at that time. Almost 99% of the time, when faced with a crazy situation or a tough situation, you are going to know how to handle it. If you run into your ex, it might be awkward. You may not love how you deal, how you go through it, but you're going to be fine. So you could spend the next 6 months trying to figure out what would happen if you saw your ex and how you would reply and how things could go terribly wrong or how you could say that perfect snarky witty thing that you've always wanted to say. You could spend the next 6 months thinking about it. And then if, again, not when, if you run into your ex, it's like, oh, hey, you wave for 10 seconds and then it's done. And you've just spent 6 months utilizing your thoughts to solve this problem that honestly didn't even really need solving. You just needed to follow your gut at that time. So you're not going to feel confident in a future situation that you're just thinking about because, again, it hasn't happened yet. When you're in the moment, you know how to tap into the right things. You know the right things to say, even if you're not, even if you don't come up with something witty or snarky or whatever your goal is, like you're going to figure it out. You're going to say something or you're going to wave or you're not going to say anything and that's okay too. So again, they talk about how a lot of anxiety comes from thinking about the future and that's because we just don't know what it's going to be like yet. And we can't know because we're not there yet. So I'm sure there are other categories of thoughts. Again, if you identified with any of these or even if you didn't, you're not alone. These are all very common experiences to go through in a breakup. Your thoughts are not real. Figure out a way to personify your thoughts and give it an outside perspective or just get some distance away from yourself. And remember, when you're feeling down, your logic is just not there. So your thoughts are just not, they're not logical. They're not real. They're not reality. Your thoughts are not reality. You just have to keep remembering that. So I hope that helps, and I will see you guys back here next week.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.